Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to grow and build a six or seven-figure pet business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and services and blogging and everything in between. Now, today, I'm super excited about today's guest, and I know that you will be too. So today, we've got Chloe DeVita, the head of BlogPaws. She was recently named a Pet Age 40 Under 40 winner. Since joining BlogPaws officially back in 2010, she's helped more than triple the growth of the business through their annual conference, BlogPaws, and through the influencer marketing campaigns. Prior to BlogPaws, she ran an accounting company for 10 years and considers herself a recovering accountant. She's currently the president of the board of a local nonprofit called Art is Action and likes to spend her time with her family, her dogs, and traveling. Chloe, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
No problems at all. So now, before we get started kind of into the questions that we've got, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, we know that you had an accounting company. We've known that, you've come in BlogPaws and you've done some great things over there. But, tell us a little bit about how it kind of happened, how it transitioned.
Well, going back to the beginning, and I started my entrepreneurship and getting into the business world pretty young, and it was basically because I moved out to Colorado to go to college and all my financial aid fell through. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to do something else. So I got a job working at a CPA firm. I was 19, just turned 19, moved out here, got a job at a CPA firm, had a knack for accounting, and they basically mentored me. So mentorship is huge. They mentored me. I moved on to corporate accounting for a couple years and managed some stuff in kind of the dot-com phase before the boom went boom. And basically at the end of that, just kind of thought I need to work for myself, and I can do this. So at 22, I started my own accounting company, and I just traveled around Boulder and found small businesses that needed help and just started, doing their bookkeeping, helping them get set up, managing some of the annual business kind of things you have to do with the Secretary of State and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, decided I really needed a degree. So at 23, I went back to school nights. And I was single. I had a daughter. She I had her when I was 20, so I had her young. She was 2, 3 when I started all this. But I just persevered, and that was a big piece, is I just kept pushing forward. And one of the things that I think about is at the Whippin conference recently, where Lorian Clemens handed out the little cards, and it said, she believed she could, so she did. And that resonates a lot with me. A belief that you can get there is sort of a base for almost anything you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I took that and grew my company, my accounting company, to 5 employees and 6 figures, and kind of got tired of it, I guess. I got a little bit tired of handling people's money. Mm-hmm. They're interesting when you're handling their money. And I,
by interesting, you mean completely not interesting. Yeah.
Everything is like a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed it. I mean, I still keep in touch with a lot of my clients. I actually still have clients reaching out to me and wondering if I'm ever getting back in that field and to let them know if I do. So I guess that's my backup is always, I can fall back on accounting. Mm-hmm. And it taught me a ton. I mean, running your own business and starting it from scratch, probably the thing that surprised me the most is that I had to be a salesman. Mm-hmm. And I was an accountant, I wasn't a salesman. And all of a sudden, I was my own salesman, and I had to learn how to pitch myself. I had to learn how to convince people to trust in me, because I was, 22, 23, and I looked 16. So that was like a little bit of a stumbling block, and it was an interesting one to get over. But I did, and I just kept pushing forward. And when BlogPaws came around, and my mom and Tom, Yvonne DeVita and Tom Collins, and co-founder Carolyn Gollin, they just kind of came to me and they're like, so this is our idea and we have this check, what do we do? So I basically at that point started phasing out of my accounting company and into BlogPaws. Mm-hmm. And I managed to get all my employees hired out to clients I had, so they didn't have to do any kind of layoffs. I didn't really want to sell the business either. There was too much intricacy and relationship stuff going on, so I just phased out of one and into the other, and then really put my focus on BlogPaws and helping BlogPaws grow.
Got it.
So, but I learned a ton from that first 10 years of running that company that has hopefully benefited the growth that we've had in BlogPaws.
You know what's really interesting, and I think first of all is the struggle that you had when you were 20, looking 16, and trying to handle people's financial. Because you're right, when you start talking about people's money, you know, we've had employees for next almost 20 years, but when you start messing with people's money and their paychecks and all that other, it gets real like fast. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like people, they don't mess around with their email, they don't mess around with their money. So that would have been a big challenge, and to do that at such a young age and realize, oh, I kind of have to do this, and then figure out how to do it and then make a successful business out of it. That's fantastic. And, you know, the other thing that you said that really kind of resonated with me is a lot of the folks that we're talking about in this series, they're on their second or their third business. So, you know, it was like that first one took them 10 years, 15 years, and then the next time it's 2 years to get to the same point, you know, because of all the things that you learn. And I think that was one of the things that I liked. And we were kind of talking before we got on the interview about that Gary Vaynerchuk video. And you know, he's talking about that there's something that you have as a 30 or a 40 year old person that, you know, these 18 year old kids don't have. And that's experience. You know, I think that's incredibly valuable. And I don't think people give enough weight to that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that it's hard to recognize that too in yourself, actually.
Well, you know, I know as an entrepreneur, like self-doubt always comes in because there's always going to be people around you that don't get you. Like unless you hang out in masterminds with other entrepreneurs, people are like, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
Like that's weird. Like sometimes I'll rattle off some ideas for some businesses sometimes and people just look at me like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever. And then 2 years later, you see it and they're like, oh, they're on Shark Tank and they just got like $400,000. Like, see, told you.
I hear you.
Would have been good. Told you. Okay, so now you built this. You built this business. You phased out of that. You kind of came into BlogPause, and then once you got into BlogPause, you have done. You've tripled the business in the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, is it all work that you've done? Like how does that work? How do you get something and then triple it?
So I would say there's many factors to that. One is, our whole team, you know, has the passion for it. And I think one of the things that's very common in a lot of small businesses, especially in the pet industry, is you're driven by passion, which can be great, and it also can be a stumbling block, because your passion means your heart is making a lot of the decisions, and it's hard to step out of that and look at your business as a business and try to make the best decisions for it so that you can continue to grow. And I believe we had such a good mix of people. So, you know, Tom was an attorney. He's the recovering attorney and I'm the recovering accountant. So having him there to really give advice and review contracts and have that sort of legal mindset was really helpful. Mm-hmm. Caroline she's in PR. Caroline, she not only knew a lot of people in the pet industry, but she was already online. She was already a blogger. She had a lot of connections in an area that we didn't, and she had a lot of understanding about how to reach the right people and the right brands. Mm-hmm. And then Yvonne, my mom, she was also a blogger. She started blogging way back when everyone thought it was dumb, and you know, there was the whole, why are you doing that? That's never going to go anywhere kind of thought about it. And she was like, nah, it's gonna. And it did. And she had, with Tom, actually run a self-publishing business. They had this whole education kind of thought to everything they do. They'd run some pod camps and different things. And so it was just, we had the right team. And I think that's really important. If you're going to collaborate, you want to make sure you can all complement each other. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that is what helped everything grow. Is we kind of knew our spot, we kind of knew what we were good at, and we allocated appropriately so that each person could really keep pushing forward and leveraging their talents to help BlogPause grow.
Yeah. I was reading a book a while back. I don't remember which one it was, but whoever it was, the author kept on talking about finding out what your superpower is. You know, so like, what's that one thing that you do the best, and being able to spend trying to figure out ways where you can leverage people around you so that way you can spend the most time. So like, if you're a blogger, blog like crazy, and then find other people to do kind of the related stuff. And it's funny because when you talk to somebody that's a blogger, they're like, blogging is what's important, the rest of the stuff is minor. But then when you talk to an accountant, they're like, oh no, the numbers are what's important. You know what I mean? So like, everybody has their own thing. You know, what's interesting is a lot of the people that I feel are going to be watching this series are going to kind of fall into one of two camps. They're either going to be just getting started So they're watching this interview series as kind of like, okay, where are the potholes? What kind of a, you know, where do I avoid the mistakes? And some of those you just have to, you have to learn, right? You got to learn your mom's there. Yep. And then there's going to be other people, and I talk to these people quite a bit, that have been in business for a while. You're right. They're strongly kind of heart-centered and passion-based, and they're just, they're coming up against the challenge. You know, they're coming up, they can't get beyond that. They're struggling. They're starting to get burned out because they're the one person doing everything. They're the one and two person shops, and they're just having a hard time kind of pulling it all together. So you guys, obviously you had this core group of people that kind of that help with Blog Pause, but I mean, it takes more than five people to grow, you know, $1 million plus business. So what other kind of things do you guys outsource? You know, how do you make sure that you guys are all working in your superpower at the most or at any given time?
It's definitely something that's always a struggle because you have growing pains, and we've been growing the whole time. So it sort of feels like, okay, when do the growing pains end? And maybe they never do. And, you know, that just might be the case. But we are really lucky to have a really big community with a lot of people that are good at things. So we reach out a lot, whether it's trying to get certain kinds of content on the blog or it's trying to find out, you know, some techie backend stuff that we just aren't really getting. Whether it's just needing some volunteers to help organize things with the conference. We outsourced our event planner immediately. Caroline actually had a connection, and that was probably the best decision related to the conference we could have made. Rebecca's been with us from day one, and it's just, she's like integral. I don't know what we do without her. And so that was a big piece is, okay, so where are the things that somebody else needs to be in charge of? Like, sure, we all need a say, we need to have discussions about it, but you know, every car can only have one driver, and you got to know who that driver is.
Absolutely. No, that's great. Now, one of the things that you talked about, you kind of talked about some technology there for a little bit. How does technology play a role in this? I mean, do you guys use any kind of like automation systems? Do you do, you know, does it help you with the marketing? Does it help you with kind of customer retention? Because I know that your business itself is kind of unique because you really have two distinct markets, right? You've got the larger brands that you're kind of reaching out to for those kinds of campaigns, but then you've got all of the bloggers as well, and that's your community. Those are the people that help you get what needs to get done. So, I mean, how do you keep consistent communications with those people and not just go crazy calling and emailing and doing this and doing that?
Well, it's actually something we're in the process of rejuvenating or regenerating, maybe, but it's hard, and I think a lot of people watching this will probably resonate with this. When you're grassroots and you're starting and you're trying to do all these things, you kind of just go at it and try this and try that, and before you know it, you're really deep into what you've started and not really sure how to get out of it. So there's just needing, again, to take that view, and often it means reaching out to somebody and an expert in that area. And I would almost even say it helps if you go outside of the pet industry, because the view and the perspective of people in different industries is a good thing to be aware of related to business specifically. So, you know, kind of getting out of that heart and into that head. So we've looked at our email, our surveys, our community. We've done a whole basically, you know, analysis of what's going on, and we're about to launch into a bunch of automation tools that are going to help with marketing. They're going to help with making sure we're going to reach the right person. So even our community, if we want to talk just about the influencers within the community, there's still a lot of subsets within there. You've got your brand new people who are really just getting started. You've got those mid-level people who they're there, they're doing a lot, they're doing a great job, but they're kind of stuck in that growth. They need to like get past that, but they're a little bit stuck. And then we've got some larger influencers who are really doing a ton, they're monetizing well, and they're sort of like, what's next? You know, how do I continue? So making sure that we can offer something to each of those segments is really important for us. So you're going to see a lot of that coming out and a lot of that changing. And the same thing with the brands. So, you know, how we talk to the influencers is different than how we talk to the brands, because the brands we're trying to work with, we're trying to connect with the influencers. It's a total different mindset. And so there'll be a whole new system just for that. And automation tools are huge. I know a lot of people use Infusionsoft. We're looking at Pardot too. There's a lot of tools. People use Google Forms. It's free and it's easy. We use Wufoo a lot, SurveyMonkey, those kinds of things. Surveying your community and the people you're trying to serve on a regular basis is also a really good thing. We've got some of that planned coming up too to make sure we're delivering what they want. Because, you know, we may plan up and down what we think is going to be excellent. But if nobody needs it or wants it, it's not going to serve anybody.
I laugh because I've done the same thing, spent all kinds of time putting together stuff that, you know, it was stuff that people needed, but if it's not something that people want there, it's just going to fall on deaf ears for sure. No, yeah. And, you know, and there's a, I mean, there's a lot of tools. I mean, you mentioned some great ones. I mean, SurveyMonkey's, I mean, you know, things from email, even simple tools like, you know, not everybody's going to be ready for an Infusionsoft or a HubSpot or something like that. So, you know, MailChimp has automation tools. AWeber, I was just working with somebody the other day where they were like, we just, you know, we have AWeber. I'm like, that's okay. You know, we can do something with that. Because the thing that's interesting is that, at least in terms of marketing, which is kind of, you know, our wheelhouse and where we can speak to, most people don't do it very well at all. So it's like, you don't necessarily need to go straight to the Ferrari. Like, you can outrun somebody that's walking in a Yugo, right? I mean, AWeber gets it done. And you guys are getting to the point. It's really interesting. It's going to be interesting to kind of watch how that unfolds, because you do have a lot of different audiences. You do have different messages and different subsets of those groups. And it's really going to be about putting the right message in front of the right person at the right time. Yeah. Like you're saying, some people are going to, some people have the ability to be great if you can just give them the tools that they need, and being able to kind of root those people out and help them along that path. That's going to be awesome. So exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So like I had mentioned before, you know, a lot of the folks I think that are going to be coming through here, at least a lot of the people that are going to be coming through from a lot of our partners, are going to be people that are a little bit on the smaller end of the scale, that are either having, they're either getting started. So, you know, they're kind of looking for the, you know, where the mines that I need to avoid, or they're having problems kind of breaking through and making their passion a full-time job, like a business instead of a hobby. Right. If you could sit down with somebody, like if you were just, you know, having coffee with somebody and you could give them two or three pieces of advice in terms of what are the two or three things that if you knew now or you knew then what you know now, what are the couple or three things that you would give them to say, focus on this first, this will help you get beyond the challenges?
So one thing I would say, and actually just was talking with Kathleen Gage about this yesterday, and it's always good to hear a similar perspective from a different person.
I love her.
I know, she's awesome.
Yeah.
So I would say start at the end, which is a little bit weird for a lot of people, but start where you want it to end up, whether that's a funnel you're trying to get people to and knowing what that end is, whether it's just knowing how big you want the business to be and the few things you want to make sure you're doing well at that time. Mm-hmm. But start there and then build backwards, because I think a lot of people, there's so much content out there. There are so many tools. There's so much education. There's so many things. People get bogged down and overwhelmed by making decisions. And if you know where you want to end up and you build backwards, it will kind of help inform the key things you need to be looking for, which is going to help you pick the right tools to start with. Mm-hmm. And if you just go start researching tools and what they offer, you're going to get really overwhelmed.
Yep.
So know exactly what you need before you even start there. Mm-hmm. And tools are important, whether it's email, whether it's surveys, whether it's webinars, whatever it is, the tools you're going to use are really important.
Yep, absolutely.
And I would also say, work on your speech and presentation. You're only as good as people perceive you to be. And the way you use your words, the way you sell the company, the way you speak, the less you say, little things like that, you'll come off more professional if you can work on that. And it's actually a piece that I've really been focusing on over the last year, is making sure I can speak well. Mm-hmm. It's a work in progress, it always will be, but having that awareness to what you say and how you say it, being very much on, you know, for everyone's listening and being on the receiving end, that's a huge takeaway, because people are going to remember you for how you presented yourself, not necessarily for exactly what you were doing. I know for me, I'm much better at faces and remembering that kind of thing than I am necessarily about remembering your name. But I will remember you, and I will remember how you presented yourself.
Right.
And a lot of people are like that. It's just a visual, you know, recognition that we have. So work on that. Be in front of the mirror. Work on your sentences. Say them out loud. Big mistake people make is reading. They prepare, and maybe they're giving a speech. Maybe they're going to be in front of people trying to pitch them. Maybe they're going to a networking event, and they just have their little elevator pitch, which I don't really like that word, but everyone knows what it means. So,
yeah.
But say it out loud, talk to yourself in the mirror, make sure you know where your inflections are. You know, mm-hmm. monotone doesn't help, you know, play with it. I feel like people don't really get how important that person to person is and mm-hmm. that presentation you have of yourself can be. So work yeah. on that, make that yeah. be something that's a focus.
Yeah, no, that's great. There was a quote from, I think it was Maya Angelou, that mm-hmm. I'm going to paraphrase and I'm probably going to butcher this thing, but it basically said, people are going to forget what you said, how you was, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. So, yes. you know, when you're having that connection with somebody and it's like, yep. okay, yeah, I feel they're being genuine. They're being, you know, there's yep. clarity, there's all this other yep. stuff. Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
that's funny. I was actually having a conversation probably about a year or so ago with Shauna Shu over at Whippin.
Yep.
And she would call me every time I would say and this, and I had no idea. It just becomes part of your speech.
Yeah.
Or for me, it became part of my speech, and I was like, wow, you know.
And then another big one. That's one I kind of fall to sometimes. I have to watch myself. People will yeah. just start with so, and it's not necessary. Just drop it.
Yeah. So like, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cool. I love it. Now, I did actually have one more question. At any point in time in your career, because I mean, you've built two successful businesses. At any point in time in your career, did you ever reach out or have you ever worked with like business coaches or anything like that?
Not specifically business coaches, but I have worked with mentors. So even today, the CPA who first hired me at that CPA firm when I was 19, I'm still in touch with him. And now he does my taxes. Yes. But he is somebody who just coming from that business and accounting, you know, he's a business valuation analysis as well. So he's mm-hmm. a mentor that I've just kept in touch with long term. So he's seen all the growth. He's seen everything I do. He can really speak to me in a different way than a lot of other people can. So I would mm-hmm. say from the beginning, find a mentor, whether it's a full business coach or just someone you know in the world that's willing to guide you through and give you a different perspective, because mm-hmm. It helps with accountability. It helps with just making sure you can have somebody that steps outside of the things you're dealing with. We all get caught up in our own stuff, and things that feel super important to us sometimes aren't. Mm-hmm. And it will take a third person to say, you know, wait a minute, is that really the decision you need to be making right now, or is this, you know, and yeah. just having that view. And, you know, one other thing I would say is don't get caught up on trying to be different. It's a huge world, and there's so many opportunities for so many things. You know, it's not always about being different. And one of my most favorite quotes that Michael Port said, he coaches for Heroic Public Speaking. That's his business. And he's mm-hmm. who I've been working with for speaking, him and Amy Mead. But he said, and it just sticks with me, is you do not have to be different to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's huge for people to think about, because it's how you say it. That's what it comes back to. So finding somebody who can hear you, like really hear you, understands where you're coming from, and then also give you back a perspective that's totally different to keep you on your toes is really, really important.
Yeah. No, that's great.
That could be a business coach, or that could be a mentor. That could be a lot of different people, but you should have at least one, if not more.
But it's got to be somebody outside of your own two ears.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be somebody yeah. outside of your crazy.
Yes. It shouldn't be your best friend.
Yeah, your bestie. Shouldn't be your mom, somebody that's no. going to give it to you straight. Absolutely. Right. No, I get it. Yeah. No, well, listen, thank you very much. I really appreciate all the nuggets. I mean, the stuff I've been sitting here writing notes. That's one of the benefits of doing these kind of theories is because
yeah.
I'm being selfish and I can learn and I can learn from all kinds of different folks. And you have absolutely been no difference. I really, really appreciate it. Obviously, we're going to be recording this. We're going to be sharing this mm-hmm. with everybody that's kind of inside of our community and yep. beyond. If people wanted to get a hold of you, if they wanted to find out more about Blog Pause,
yes.
What do you guys have going on? How can they get in touch with you? What's the best way for them to be able to find out more about you guys and interact with you?
Well, first and foremost is our blog. So, and that's just blogpause.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our social is BlogPause. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, wherever you want to find us, we're BlogPause. So that you can find easily. I'm Chloe@blogpause.com if you want to email me. Mm-hmm. That's on the site too. We've got an about page that kind of talks about all that. So if you've got questions. I may not be the right person, but I'll definitely make sure you get to the right person if mm-hmm. you've got any ideas or whatever you have going on. And, you know, right now we're focused on a few things. One is our influencer marketing campaigns. So we're growing our network. We're growing the brands we work with, the bloggers we work with. We're really trying to take advantage of all that content that's being created out there in support of a lot of different things. And it's just going to keep growing. It just keeps getting bigger what the opportunities are there. So we're trying to be a little bit ahead of the game and be unique with some of our offerings. So you'll see that growing and changing. Mm-hmm. We're planning our conference. So that's 2016, June 23rd to the 25th in Phoenix. Ooh. So be on the lookout for that. We'll actually have a RFP going out for speaker proposals. That'll be going out in the next, definitely in the next month. I don't remember the exact timing, but it's okay. coming up. And so we'll be collecting anybody's ideas for educating. And it's really important for us to serve everybody at the conference. So we'll have some stuff for beginners, some stuff for those intermediate, and some mm-hmm. stuff for the more advanced people. So look for all of that. Look for the sessions when we announce them. And the other really exciting thing is we're getting ready to officially launch what we're calling the Social Learning Center. It's still a little bit out. You know, it might actually be a 2016 thing. We're still playing with it. We want to make sure it's really ready for everybody who it's going to serve, which, again, mm-hmm. is the full spectrum of our community. We want to make sure everybody who goes there can find, whether it's a webinar or an ebook or just a top 10 tip, something that helps them be better at what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. We just brought on Amy Beltran. She starts on Monday. I'm super excited because this is what she's done for her career has been developing educational tools mm-hmm. In a different setting. We're bringing her into the pet world and the social media world, but she's been an active blogger. She's grown. She's done so much. And I know she's going to really kick it out of the park and help us make an amazing place for people to come and learn.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no, she's fantastic. So, no, you mm-hmm. guys are going to be – I'm excited to see what's happening. And obviously – you know, when we post this interview, what we'll do is we'll make sure that we have links out to your webpage and your social media and stuff like that. So, again, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.